Welcome to Songwriter Trysts, an intimate podcast that interviews artists about the art of songwriting and find out more about the life behind the songs. I am singer-songwriter Rae Lee and your host for this show. Music saved my life and I want to talk to other songwriters about the power of songwriting, talk about their journey and how they got to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. Welcome to A Songwriter Truth with Ishan Merchant. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. And this is your very first interview. I am very privileged.
Yeah, first. Anything like this at all.
Yeah. Well, you haven't actually released your music yet, have you? You've just been singing into Instagram.
No. Yeah, so I've been everything acoustic, just voice and guitar, edge of the bed, writing songs, that kind of thing.
Said you think we should both stay at home. What a wake-up call. Alarm bells ringing in my head. What are we staying at home for? You don't even want me to call at all. And I know that we're fighting.
And so more produced stuff. And an EP is coming, which is very exciting.
Yes. What's the date of your EP coming?
I don't know. Sorry, I should be more specific. An EP has been pretty much made. Three songs are being mastered currently.
Yeah.
And then what I do next with those, I'm not really sure. Because I'm pretty confident in my writing and my singing, but in my marketing and my my distribution skills, I'm not so confident. Yeah. So I'm in the process of sort of talking to anyone who knows anything about the music industry and just trying to understand the best way to release the music.
Yeah, brilliant. And it is a really hard thing that all artists struggle with, so don't feel alone in that.
Yeah, no, that's the impression I'm getting.
We all just want to write songs and create it, but we don't want to have to go out and spruik it to the world.
I've been living the dream so far. Just edge of the bed, writing songs. I'm in the fun zone. I haven't had a taste of the real work yet, which will be interesting.
But there are some amazing people out there that really do know what they're doing. So I can shoot you through a few recommendations if you're needing help in that area too.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, no problem. I'm still learning as well. So
yeah, I'll talk to anyone.
Yeah, me too. That's why I do this.
Yeah, this is great.
In your own words, who are you and where do you come from?
I am Ishan Merchant. I come from Switzerland, Spain, India. This is sort of my heritage. Wow. My mum is Swiss, German and Spanish. My dad's Indian Australian and I was born in France.
That explains the look.
Yeah. I must admit, I feel Swiss. I feel more Swiss than say Indian or Spanish. So I speak Swiss German quite well.
Okay. Yeah.
And I spent a fair bit of time there. And so I'm constantly talking to my mum in Swiss German. I love to joke around the Swiss isms because she came to Australia when she was in her 20s. And so she speaks English really well, but there are always some things that carry over. And then I'm 17.
Yep.
I'm a singer-songwriter, keen football player.
AFL?
Soccer, sorry.
Soccer. No, that's okay.
I support Carlton, but I don't know much about what's going on.
I support Essendon, but I don't know much about either.
Okay. So we're not allowed to be friends is the rule, is what I'm taught. We can't have this conversation.
My best friend was a Carlton supporter and we used to always go to the games together when I was in Melbourne. So, I mean, yeah, we just have like a fun... Fun banter.
Yeah, we're going to have fun banter. Okay. I prefer that. I want to be your
friend. Yeah, me too. It's the Collingwood supporters that I have to be wary of.
Yeah. We can agree on that.
Yeah. What about soccer? Which soccer team do you follow?
Barcelona and Tottenham, which I know it's not a normal thing to follow two teams, especially in Australia, but Barcelona because leagues. That's where my... Yeah, different leagues, yeah. Yeah. I'm just praying that they don't meet each other in the Champions League or something international.
Yeah. That's very possible, but it's also a very slim chance, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
With that sort of stuff. My husband's British, right. so it's all I ever hear about is soccer.
We could talk for hours.
Yeah. He gets up at 3 a.m. in the morning and he's just watching football.
I can't do that. No. Yeah. I can't watch the full games.
Sorry, were you born in Australia then, or were you born in
I was born in France.
Oh, that's cool. If you're a little French.
So my dad was doing sort of studies there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not French, technically. France is one of the few places where you can be born there and you have no claim to being French. I don't quite understand how that works, but I must say with certainty I am not French, but I was born there.
So how does that work? Were they on holiday when they had you, or?
No. So dad was doing a business school,
like an MBA or something.
Yeah, MBA, exactly. Yeah. But he was doing it in France. So, you know, getting some cultural experience as well. And my mum was there, and
there you go.
Yeah, and I was born.
That's a pretty cool claim to fame. I have a song called "Lock Away Our Love," and it's my Paris song. I call it my Paris song because I went there when I was pregnant with my first child. The trip was planned, and I found out 2 days before getting on the plane that I was pregnant, which was, you know, a big surprise. But you know how in Paris
that's quite a way to find out.
Yeah, it is. And then we hadn't talked about it the whole way over, and we went shopping and then got to the kids section of the mall in Paris, and we're like, oh, we haven't talked about that. We probably should talk about it. But we did the, you know, the lock on the bridge next to where Notre Dame.
And all the couples put there. Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, so I've got like this duet song called "Lock Away Our Love," which I really want to record, but I'm still looking for a male artist to record it with. But yeah, it's essentially the story of being in Paris and buying a padlock and locking away the love. Yeah, it's very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, no, so
I'll help you out.
Yeah, sweet. Hey, let's collab. Why not?
Yeah, anytime. I said, I'll talk to anyone. I'll work with anyone. I'll do anything.
Yeah, I think that's the way you have be when you're starting out.
Yeah.
But I found you on Instagram. I don't even know like how you came up. Maybe I was looking like up the hashtag singer songwriter or something. Listened to your voice and I was like, whoa.
Thanks.
Incredible.
8 months to live, 4 months ago. She said she'd love me till my eyes were fully closed. I tried so hard to push her away, 'cause after watching your best friend die, you can't come away the same. And now it's taking its
toll. Yeah, it sent shivers down my spine. So I'm really excited to hear you actually recording something and to release something. It's going to be amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I can't share anything, but maybe I'll come back. I'd love to sort of share with your audience what I'm doing. So I apologize that I'm being a bit boring and I'm not really sharing the recorded stuff.
That's all right. We'll keep it a mystery. I've got some of your acoustic recordings which you sent through, so I can give people a teaser and then they can go and check out your Instagram and, you know, fawn over you like I did.
Sounds good.
And then, yeah, for sure, in like a year or two when you're traveling the world with your music, we can have another catch up and laugh about all the stuff that has happened.
I love that.
Tell me about why music. Like, what was your first song that you wrote and how did you get into music?
Well, I've always been singing. When I was like really small, so small I couldn't sing, my dad would sing sort of 10 songs a day. He just hold me and sing like musical theater. I think there's one, I don't remember the names of the songs, but Homeward Bound by Simon and Garfunkel is one that I remember. He told me about that one. So I still have to go and
so they started your education very young.
Yeah. Like, and I think they also played Mozart in the womb. Like, just sort of had that going.
Yeah. You've been groomed.
So I've been groomed. Yeah. And then, you know, as soon as I could talk, I was singing, always enjoying it, always singing whatever. As a sort of small primary school kid, I would listen to a blend of sort of early pop, so like Michael Jackson, Jason Mraz.
Yeah.
And then like my dad's old music, so Dire Straits, Metallica, Billy Joel.
Wow. Yeah.
So then, yeah, listen to not a massive range. I mean, there was never any classical music or funk or, there was enough, I think. And then 11 to 14, I didn't really sing at all because my voice was breaking. And then when I was 15, I wrote my first song. And that was, and then I've been writing ever since. And the reason I wrote my first song was not because of some magical sort of inspiring thing that was very romantic. It was because up until then I was a really keen sportsman. I was playing a lot of cricket.
Yep.
And I stopped now because I don't like cricket, but that's a story for another time. But I was playing lots of sport.
I don't like cricket. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, no. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the West Indies song. We don't like cricket. Oh, no. Yeah.
I love it.
That's very cultural. I love it. Yeah.
Reviving. This is great.
Yeah, this is awesome. So playing a lot of cricket, and then I had spinal surgery when I was 14. So I had a it's just escaped my memory what the term is. Basically, one of my vertebrae was loose. So the spine is made up of these building blocks, and there's little bones around. Oh, Papa's defect, that's what it's called. That's a boring name. And basically, one of these vertebrae slipped forward like an iceberg, sort of over 14 years. So I didn't notice anything.
Okay.
Over 14 years, it just sort of slipped forward, until I was 14 and I was playing all this sport and I was having back pain. So I'd play on Panadol.
Yeah.
Batting was fine, but, you know, you bend down, pick up the ball and throw it, and I'd just be sort of hands on my back the entire game.
Yeah.
And so I had this surgery and I'm fine now. It was very successful. They took out the vertebrae. They put some metal in there and it's all great now. But I had eight months to sit there twiddling my thumbs, scratching my butt.
Yeah.
And so I've always played guitar. I started playing guitar when I was in maybe 6 years old.
Yeah.
But I've never really played I've never been technically great. I've always just played basically chords. Anything it takes to play an Ed Sheeran song, or the songs I was listening to as a kid. Yeah. And so I had all this time and I said, you know, I'm going to play some music because it's fun.
Yeah.
But the problem was all the songs that I really liked listening to, so Ed Sheeran and guys like him, Jason Mraz, the range of their voices was so big. And also I was going through puberty, so my voice was breaking. So I had this tiny, tiny range. And so I wrote my own songs. It was weird because I look back on it now and I think this was one moment that was so pivotal in my life. Not that I've, you know, it's been one moment that's launched this mega successful career. I really hope it does. Even if it's not the case, it's made me so happy and it's now it's such a big part of who I am. I look back on it and think, you know, this is the moment that changed so much for me. But I look back and when I think about what was going through my mind at the time, it was really casual. It was like, oh, I just wrote a song.
Yeah.
Like I was just sitting in the living room. My parents were out of the house, and I think that I reckon that contributed a fair bit. Like I just because I'm sure I know I sound dumb when I'm writing songs, but I sound especially dumb that first time.
Yeah.
And they came home, and I was like, "Hey guys, look, I've written this song."
Yeah.
And they were quite surprised.
Why were they surprised?
Well, it was. Relative to my other songs, it was pretty good. Like, I've written some terrible songs. I've written about 75 that I've sort of got.
Hold on for keeping count.
I've got a spreadsheet.
Yeah, no, that's good.
So I've written some shockers, but that first one, I'm not saying it was brilliant, but it was good. Like, it was a good song.
Yeah.
Like, I ended up playing it sort of a year later, and a lot of my songs I don't keep for a year.
Yeah.
So I feel like I got lucky that I can sing. I'm lucky that I can play guitar to the level I can. I'm lucky I can write songs because I'm not sure what that's attributed to. But then that the first song was so good, good enough, that my parents came home and said, wow. And then that sort of gave me that, I don't want to say confidence, but it was fun. It's really cool to do things that people enjoy.
Yeah.
And so on top of, now it's self-sustaining. Now I'll write, if you told me no one's going to listen to anything you do ever, I'd still write. I'd write like mad. But it was that initial push.
Yeah, good. I'm glad that you feel that way, though, because I think in this industry you have to have that type of thick skin, you know, and know that you're doing it for you and that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and the reality is we all have different tastes and no one is going to make everyone happy. you know, think about the most successful people in the world, and there's still people who don't like them. So, yeah. if you can get past that, you are bounds leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of other people who want to do music and that and art in general. Because I think people pleasing is a big part of our culture. Like we're brought up to please our mum and dads and do as we're told and be good little kids, you know. And definitely. With art, you cannot. It's impossible to do that in art. It's impossible to make everyone happy. And so you have to get comfortable with being okay with that.
Yeah, I was very lucky to speak to Kieran Gribben, who is the lead singer of INXS.
Yeah, nice.
A couple of days ago, he just know him through dad knows him through a friend of a friend, and so he just sort of saw my stuff on social media, and he just gave me some tips, and he told me word for word, "Don't try and please everyone." That was his. That be careful what you sign.
Yep. yes.
and don't try and please everyone. Oh, and sorry. Yeah. That and play the long game were his three his three big points that he hammered home. So that's really interesting when you sort of start to hear. Because again, I know nothing. I'm useless. I can sing, I can write, but when it comes to the industry, I know nothing. So it's great to talk to people, and then when you start to sort of hear the same messages cropping up across lots of people who have pretty much no connection to one another. That's when you know, okay, there's something here. There's something going on.
Something in that. And I think that it's very mature of you to be open and teachable like that. So you realized when you had this injury, you wanted to do more because your parents liked it and that sort of thing. Was that the point where you're like, this is going to be my career and this is what I'm going to focus on? Or?
Oh, absolutely not.
No?
No.
Is that something that is now though?
It is now. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So now, there's a fair bit to unpack there because, I mean, music is a very high risk, high reward career, or music in the way I'm pursuing it. So I'm trying to be a rock star, essentially, is the goal. And if it's very unrealistic, because it's about far more than talent.
Yeah.
Well, unrealistic, but potentially still worth pursuing. Sorry, there's lots of stuff to talk about. What was your original question? I'll do that first.
It's an interesting one. No, it's because I was asking whether you knew, like, that was that the point where you decided that was going to be a career that you were going to pursue, not just a hobby?
No, so it really was just, and I say it was great that my parents loved it. That was a small part. That was just sort of, it was more, I didn't feel stupid. I didn't have to contend with feeling stupid.
Yeah,
that wasn't part of the picture. And then I was free to just enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started writing when I'm 17 now. So last 2 years ago in May, I turned 15, and it was pretty much right after my birthday. I started writing songs.
Yeah.
And it probably took a year before I even had the faintest notion that, oh, maybe this could be something, you know, where I'm playing for others, where I'm having this as a career. And I'm glad for that because it's kind of, I don't know if it was naive. I don't think it was because I'm not convinced that I was writing stuff. Like I was writing good stuff, but there was a development that had to take place where I could get to a stage and say, you know what, these are stories that I reckon I could really share and people could connect with.
They're beautiful stories. I think they're actually very mature stories as well. They're not something that I would have expected from someone so young.
Yeah, I definitely try to tell complex stories. Well, maybe I should stay away from that. I don't know. Sometimes I tell stories that are too complex.
Why? Nah, do whatever feels good. Like you said, you know, follow your gut. But I was surprised. But
like
I love
getting
it.
Into Missy Higgins territory. Like sometimes some of the songs that I haven't released, get like really not technical, but they're heavy stories. It's like, and so it's, I think it's finding that balance. I'm quite cynical, which I'm, and I don't mind that because I know that. And so it's something that's always, I'm aware of that. I think it would be very concerning if I didn't know.
What are you cynical about specifically, or is it just a lot of stuff?
It's nothing really specific. It's just I have a tendency to take a cynical attitude towards something that the majority of people would not.
I like that.
As opposed
that.
To a specific
good.
Thing.
It means you're questioning it's stuff.
I do, yeah. It's good in some ways, and it's less than ideal in other ways. But then I think that's why I tell these stories is, well, no, sorry, one is I love them, but two, I, from the first song, and the first song, And a lot of the songs, they're not really about anything specific, but their stories in that someone, at the very least, someone listening could hear them and understand how this might have happened or apply them to their own lives.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something. It's got to take you somewhere. It's got to be some kind of story. I don't like, so, you know, baby, baby, baby. Ooh, you know, full respect to Justin Bieber. He's a great, great artist.
Yeah.
But for me and my taste, which is all I have to, you know, all I have to go off, all I have to guide myself, that's not enough. I need something a bit more to attach to.
Need some substance.
Yeah. But sometimes they get too heavy. And I don't know, maybe if I'm doing really well later on, I'll release some, story time with Ishan songs. You know, still me and a guitar, but they're just heavy.
Some artists, I'm trying to think who it is now, but some artists have released an album and then they also release like a commentary album where then there's no music on the commentary album. They're literally just doing essentially this, talking about where that song on that album comes from and the story behind it. And I like it because, but that's what I'm into. And sometimes people do just want to listen to a song and zone out and tap their feet. Do, 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 do. But other times I think music enables us to heal and be encouraged and have faith and hope and not feel quite so alone. And it has this amazing ability to get past the walls that we naturally have up around ourselves. And I think that's the beauty of music. And so putting those deeper messages in there, people can choose whether they want to hear them or not, or you know, read into it, however they want to read into it. I think it's beautiful that it's out there though, you know, and
yeah, I reckon that captures it perfectly.
Yeah.
There's something there for everyone, but that's sort of how I'm, or at the moment, at least how I'm trying to figure out what's the right balance between story and just, you know, sort of a feel good kind of song. It's if you want to dive into that, and if when you hear things, you hear the story, great, there's something there for you. But if that just sort of goes over your head and you just hear the cool song and the lovely beat and on the tune, that's great too. That's the right balance.
Very cool. You know, I was going to ask you the next question, but I feel like we've just answered it without even meaning to. But it was going to be like, what do you think about when you're writing songs? Is there like a core message or feeling that you want to portray, or is it different every single time?
I don't think there's something I want to portray while I'm writing the song.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to sound far more technical than I normally get. And I'm not exactly sure how I have this idea, but I've been thinking about this a lot for the last 3 months. I think more than most 17-year-olds, I think. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing. I'm not convinced, and neither are my friends. But one of the things that makes art art is that it's a process by which the artist arrives at some kind of conclusion or message.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's the case, but it's certainly true for my particular, you know, my art, the things I do personally. I don't have an idea when I start. It's more I'm going on a journey, or I mean, that makes it sound really romantic, but I suppose in a way it is. I'm going on a journey, and so when I reach the end of the song, then I look back on what's happened, and it's in that moment that I understand what the message of the song is, what's going on. And so, I mean, you hear people who talk about paintings, and now I understand nothing about visual art. Absolutely nothing. And I don't like it. And I don't like it, but I get bored. I get very bored if I went to an art gallery. And I feel like it's a shame because there seems to be this such rich world that I can't really engage in, try as I might.
You might,
which I think
day.
Is a bit of
maybe
a shame.
Not be for right
maybe
now.
Yeah. I'd love that. But you hear people talk about art and they talk about, it's almost as if the artist is sort of discovering something as they're painting. They're going on a journey. They're arriving at something. Mm-hmm. And so instead of here's my message and now I'm going to force that upon you, now that sounds really bad. And if there are people who write like that, please don't take this the wrong way. This is a very personal thing for me.
Yeah.
That doesn't apply to others. But I feel like it's more interesting if, A, I arrive at the conclusion, or the songwriting is the process of arriving at the conclusion, and B, that's visible in the final product. So you can see if you listen to the song, hopefully how it's progressed. And so you literally come along the journey with me. Often I write a song, and if you would come up to me just after I'd finished it and you asked me what it was about, I'd have no idea.
Yeah.
Even maybe 3 months after, if you asked me what it's about. If I hadn't sat there for about 20 minutes, which is not something I'm inclined to do, I'm not really inclined to think about what it means, because I kind of know, but I don't know. And it's not very, again, not scientific at all.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of post-rationalization. So I figure it out after I've written it. And I think, to me, that's what art is. It's about going on a journey, and then that journey is visible in the final product.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit like diary writing almost, like you're getting whatever it is that's inside you out, but that doesn't mean you have to understand what it is. I did that with my second single that I released this year in February. And it was called All of Me. And if I'm really honest, I had no idea really what it was about. Even when I released it. And then I had like radio interviews and stuff. And they were like, oh, it's lovely. And like, what's it about? And I just, the interviews are cringeworthy because I'm like, I don't even really know. And it wasn't probably until a month ago where it really hit home. I was like, oh, there it is. Like, and I think because it was just really vulnerable as well, I was probably blocking it out to say what this is actually about. I still loved it. But yeah, it's interesting how that does happen sometimes. Sometimes the song beats us to it, and it's just meant to be out in the world before we can necessarily logically get our brains around it. That happens. Yeah. That's fine. Whatever.
I mean, the other thing is that I'm 17, so I feel like I'm living a great life. I'm really happy with what I'm doing, but I haven't, you know, I haven't been through heartbreak, and I haven't been through really tough times. And I, you know, my experiences are limited. And so often the songs I'm writing, I really want to tell stories, and the stories are meaningful to me, and I hope they're meaningful to others. But what it often ends up being is I'll hear something or I'll experience something, and I take a small part of that, like a small fragment, and then around that I construct a story. So it's stories in my head that definitely have connections to me and connections to the real world.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of what's going on is it's my head filling in the blanks.
Yeah. Well, Albert Einstein said, what did he say? Logic will get you from A to B, but imagination will take you anywhere.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah. And I think that we use our imagination so much as children. Like, that is such a big thing of what we do. And somewhere along the line, we slowly lose a bit of that. And I think as an artist, we actually kind of hold on to as much of it as possible, hopefully, and get to recreate that in our music or whatever it is that we're doing as an art form. And the more creative and imaginative of a piece of art that I hear or see, I love it. I don't know, it sends shivers down my spine. And that's the whole point, is to be creative and use your imagination.
And I think that's what makes it so, one of the things that makes art so interesting for a lot of people is that being creative is kind of dangerous. Like, it's a high risk, high reward strategy, because from the perspective of having a career in a creative endeavor, creativity is, first of all, it's a lot of it is, I don't know, not genetics may be the wrong thing to say, but, you know, some people just can't be creative. I'm great at writing songs, I think, but I couldn't paint a painting. I can't come up with, I could never think of what to write for a book. And so I am very creative in this one area. But then there are some people who I talk to and they just can't do this kind of thing. And so creativity is, one, hard to come by, but then two, it's very hard to monetize.
Yeah.
So a very small fraction of creative people make all the money. It's called a Pareto distribution. Maybe people Google Pareto distribution. It's a probability thing. A very small fraction of the people are going to make all the money. And so for all these reasons, engaging the world in a creative way is very hard. And so music is so interesting and so fulfilling for a lot of people, because you can engage that through through someone else who's doing that for you. Because for a lot of people, it's not possible.
Mm. And it's, I mean, yeah, you're right. We do want to, if you want to have a business, any business, you need to be able to at least fund it and live off it.
Mm, yeah.
And I think a lot of people do actually live off their art and their craft. I think that that is achievable. But to necessarily be that top 1% who get huge amounts of money and rock stardom and all that sort of stuff, that is another level that it depends on, I think, your ambition and your drive and your reason why and all of those things. But at the same time, looking at statistics and stuff, I think for me, I'm very optimistic. I can be cynical sometimes, but I'm very optimistic. And I'm a big believer
that's good. I need you to bring me back to the optimism because I sound very pessimistic. I promise I am optimistic.
I think even if there's 1% chance to be able to do something, I still see that as there's a chance. And it's for me, it's worth pursuing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think what I'm doing now is, for me, I'm confident this is worth pursuing. Mm-hmm. It's more a couple of things. So there's not, I have to understand that there's not going to be sort of a middle ground. It's like either I'm going to make it big and that's very likely not to not happen, or I'll be making enough to live.
Yeah.
And so there are a number of implications of that. So, and the chief among those being, I need to know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are a lot of people who go into engineering, and so I'm at school and I'm studying lots of math subjects, lots of science subjects. And I figure if I'm not going to, sorry, if I'm going to go to university, which I'm fairly confident I will, I'll probably study engineering. And so I'm sure there are a lot of people who go into engineering not really knowing what they want to do.
Yeah.
Cause engineering is great like that. You know, it doesn't close a lot of doors, those sort of skills. But music, you really need to know why you're doing it. And I think you mentioned this before, so I'm sort of that's taking your thunder, but it really is, you really need to be sure, not of how it's going to go, not of how successful you'll be, but at a higher level of abstraction, why are you here? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And can you live for the rest of your life? Can you live with the decisions you make now? Because, you know, not going to university and choosing to tour the country in a caravan, that's great. But if you look back in 10 years and say, you know what, I really wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
Then, you know, that's really sad. For me, it's, yes, let's push as hard as I can, the music, the marketing side of things, the EP. Mm. But then also I'm still pushing my school. I'm really working hard in the academic sphere. And then when I do make a decision, when it comes time that, I can't sort of pursue both with as much vigor as I do now, then I'll need to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But you may also not be sure. And that's okay as well.
That's true.
I think I definitely agree, and I can hear where you're coming from, and I want to encourage you that that's very good that you're questioning your decisions and you want to like take check and make sure that you feel like this is the right thing to do, and that is definitely an important thing to do. And like I went to uni, I did a degree in biomedical science,
That's cool.
I finished it, and I was going to be a doctor, and I come from a really poor family and we didn't have a lot. And I thought that medicine was something I was interested in and that it would give me a secure job and that I would also be able to help people, all things that I really enjoy. And then I worked corporate. And I think now that I've kind of gone through a lot of, I think, what the world tells you you should do and what's secure and, you know, what's maybe, there's a, you know, there's
yeah,
always,
definitely.
There's always jobs for doctors,
the golden
right?
path, medicine. Yeah.
But now that, I am where I am now, you know, house, 3 kids, and now full-time singer-songwriter and just music lover of life. I think I definitely was worried about money when I was younger. And the older I've gotten, the more I have realized that, and I mean, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory actually quote this. He says, money is common when he's talking to the little boy. He's going to sell his golden ticket. Do you remember that? Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why would you sacrifice something so precious to something as common as money? And I think that that's something that I see a lot in the world, is especially young people, it's like you have to go out and earn a bunch of money. And so I see people pursuing careers that they have been told is going to earn them a ton of money, But the reality is, if you are doing anything just for money, it is never going to be enough money to make you satisfied. You will never be happy if there has to be something else, like some other reason. It could just be that you love helping people and you get reward from that. And then the money is just like a part of what goes with that job. And that's perfectly fine. But like there has to be another reason, because money is just never enough. You know, it's just like people who have a lot want more. And the only time I think it really becomes a thing is someone said that money is like air, and you only really think about it when you don't have much. You know, if you're suffocating, then yes, air and money is going to be really, really important. But as soon as you've got a little bit, I think you start to realize it's not something you have to worry about. You know, you just take a deep breath and do the next thing. And, you know, and that's where I think it's also good to think about what is it that makes you happy and what is it that your soul and your heart is pulling you towards? Because that, if you do that well and you share that in a way that adds to the community and adds to the people around you, the money will come in whatever form it comes. It will follow. This has been a weird year for me, but like it took me a really long time to be okay with sharing my music with other people. But once I finally did, I haven't felt more free and more alive in my life. I've never earned as little money as I have this year. Like it's been, financially, it has been the worst, but I'm living my best life. Like I'm so free and just love every day and every moment of my life because I'm being honest about who I am and who I was born to be. And it took me a really, really long time to have the confidence to say that that's okay to do that. And I want to encourage anyone that is feeling like this is something that they feel like they want to do and they are a creative person, just start doing it. You know, you don't have to quit your day job, but I wouldn't close doors. Going to uni is great. But yeah, when you are questioning yourself, maybe the money side of things isn't the first thing to consider. Does that make sense?
I needed to hear that. Yeah. I'm going to make it very clear to the audience. I know nothing about the world. So I am probably going to make some, I don't know. I feel like if I didn't have parents who were really encouraging me to, yes, pursue my studies, but then also to think really carefully about the fact that I know I probably don't want to be an engineer and I really want to pursue music. Mm. I think I probably would make that mistake because I know this is what's going to make me happy, but then I am affected by, you know, the idea that I want to make money and I want to be successful and I want to be able to look after the people around me.
Yeah. And so, you can do that in either way. Just be aware.
Of course.
That
yeah.
No way yeah. is easy. Like you just, whatever you do, work hard at it and be committed. I think some people make the mistake of thinking that music is easy. And then when they get into it realize it's hard, then they quit. And then people think, oh yeah, it's a really hard industry to break into because these people didn't make it. And it's like, yeah, but anything's worth, if it's worth doing.
Yeah, but that's the love then. You need the,
yeah,
that's what's missing there.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you done any co-writing before?
Well, I've done collabs.
Yeah.
So this is only in the last sort of month, maybe. So I mentioned before, I'm sort of starting to become a little bit more wise, I think, about my music and sort of going from this place of I know what I want and it's going to be all me and my guitar and my ideas to, okay, there are lots of other people who have heaps to offer. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I have something to offer them as well. So I haven't done any co-writing because we've been COVID for the last however long. And so I'm in Melbourne. And so I haven't been able to get anywhere really, but what I have done is I've been getting a couple of these EDM guys, which is a great term, and I'm sure they appreciate me calling them EDM guys. producers that I've met or that have contacted me through Instagram.
Yeah.
Couple of guys, so two different guys. And so what they did was they gave me backing tracks or beats that they'd made, and I wrote songs over them. And so that's been great. So they haven't actually been writing words with me and coming up with stuff. Like we haven't been in the same room sort of coming up with stuff originally. And that's definitely the next step. So as soon as COVID allows, I'll be, like I said, you know, like I want to talk to everyone, chat to everyone. I want to write with everyone. That's going to be sort of my new focus getting out of COVID.
That's cool. It's kind of a co-write though as well, someone sending you a backing track, like with the melody and everything kind of in play.
Yeah. Oh, the melody's not in place. So it's everything but the vocal pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's been good. So I've written a dance track called Machines of War.
Oh, okay. Oh,
which has been fun. So, you know, when I come back in 2 years and I'm, you know, touring the world with Ed Sheeran and whatnot and, you know, selling my merchandise and my hats.
Yeah.
Because if I had merchandise, I'd have hats. I've decided.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I never wear a hat.
You never wear a hat.
I just think that'd be hilarious. I make hats, but I never wear a hat. But yeah, so that's really opened up all these new sort of doors for me because I've never had something like that to write with. I've been limited to the chords I can strum, and you know, my guitar. And so all of a sudden I've been handed this really cool sort of doof doof EDM kind of thing. It's a progressive house track that sounds complete without any singing. Like you could just be in a party, just imagine a bunch of people jumping up and down. And so I kind of made it a pop song. Like I cut out the first bit. And so I just left the bit that really builds like a pop song to a chorus. And so that's been really cool that I can bring my background and the things that I'm used to and combine that with something completely different to what I normally write. Because I still like that kind of music. Not as much. Like I don't listen to that music often, but when I'm going for a run or if I was doing some kind of sport, I'd definitely play that sort of heavy sort of EDM stuff. And so I've always liked that music. It's just, it's always been out of reach. I've never been able to interact with it from a creative perspective. And so this online writing has been great.
And that's where working with other people grows us as artists and as people, because they will bring their strengths and their experience into a co-write or a collaboration of sorts.
Mm.
And
oh, then
we create something completely brand new. Glad to hear you're doing a bit more of that.
And yeah. And so it's great for everyone because, I mean, I learn more about myself. I didn't know I could write these things. Maybe I there's an argument to say I couldn't write these things until I did write those things. And then, which is a bit like Inception, but, and then the producer, you know, he's learning stuff because he's a student one of the guys is a student, studying in China and he's never worked with a singer before. And so we're learning.
Yeah.
And then we're also making something cool. Yeah, it's very positive. I'm very excited. So you can't see my face, but I'm smiling like an idiot.
Yeah.
Just thinking about awesome. It.
I think I can feel you lighting up just talking about it. And I love that. Like I love when I'm talking to someone and I can see their whole body and their eyes and their smile just light up and be filled with pure joy. When
yeah, you got a cool
about,
job.
You know, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, this awesome job that pays nothing, but... I
yeah,
love it.
Well,
one day I'll be the next.
That would have been my reaction. That would have been my reaction sort of 2 months ago. Yeah, it's a great job, but pays nothing. But I don't know. I've got some thinking to do about whether that's how I really feel. Because I this comes back again to sort of knowing everything. I do sometimes catch myself being very black and white. Like I said before, you know, you need to know before you make a big call.
Yeah.
You don't need to know. And you called me up on that and that was great. You don't need to know. It would be nice, but that's a very hard thing to ask of yourself. And so I need to be, yeah, exactly. So I need to be a bit more, I don't know if the word is relaxed. I'm quite an intense guy sometimes.
Maybe
but
just open.
Yeah, open, a bit less sure of myself. And I don't mean to be. I don't mean to sound like I know everything, I promise. It's more just
like
sometimes.
That.
I appreciate that. But yeah, it's just, I think that's something for me to work on, which is not so much a musical thing as opposed to just my disposition.
Yep. And that's just a part of growing up. We all go through different dispositions and we get humbled and we move on to the next thing.
Good things to come.
Yeah, exactly. What's the best advice that you've ever been given?
Treat others how you would like to be treated. That has absolutely nothing to do with music. I've been given a lot of advice, and I'm sure some of it's great advice, but I feel like that's the advice that I've seen the most benefit of, like actually seen in my own life. And so I feel like I have more claim to that advice than to any other sort of, you know, mystical advice about stuff that makes sense, but I kind of haven't really lived yet. But this is something that's really ingrained into my mind because I've seen what it does. Just as much I've seen what it does when I treat people that way as what happens when I treat people in a way that I wouldn't like them to treat me.
Yeah.
And so that's something I've lived. And so it's almost like I have a right to that, to that advice. I really know that inside of myself.
That's really, really important, especially in this industry. And saying it's got nothing to do with music is not right at all, because it has absolutely everything to do with music.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It doesn't have to do with me writing a song. But yes, absolutely. It has to do with the music industry, the world, anything that happens with other people. Absolutely.
Yeah, sorry, I should have been clearer. If you write an amazing song, I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, when you meet a beautiful woman and she's absolutely stunning, but then she speaks horribly and treats everyone horribly, like her track comes down. It's the same with a song and a songwriter. It's like someone
I can imagine,
write the most amazing song and be like, you know, Ed Sheeran on stage. But if Ed Sheeran was to get off stage and then just treat everyone horribly, it would be
Ed Sheeran. No one would know him. No one would know him.
Yeah, exactly.
He wouldn't have gone where he went. Which I like. I appreciate that's part of it. I'd hate to think that there'd be an industry, or I'd hate to think that the music industry would be one where you could get away with, or not get away with, but that wouldn't also reward kindness and decency as opposed to just rewarding talent and hard work, which are important things and also really valuable. But I think it's done well, whether it's on purpose or accidental. I don't know how that works, but the fact that is something that counts in the music industry is something that I really appreciate.
I think I've seen a big shift in the music industry, especially in Australia, where it was definitely sort of, I don't like using the word, but very competitive. And so there's, you know, this competition style music industry, whereas art in itself is the opposite of competition and competitive. The good thing that's come out of all this online world and Spotify and things like that is that we are actually rewarded by working together and supporting each other and lifting each other up. And we are as good as the next person that we support. And for me, I think that like that's a music world that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of music world that lift each other up. And I want to do everything I can to support other artists, just like I would love it. I love it when other artists or other people support me and what I'm doing. I want to do that for other people, you know? And I think it's just about lifting each other up. You know, we all rise together.
It's a nice result of the sort of social media music ecosystem. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I was very cynical about for a while.
Yeah.
The social media in general. And I apologize, I'm going off on a tangent here again. But when I first, it was first put to me that I should be putting my songs on social media, I was very against that because I see social media and it just looks very, it doesn't look very genuine. It looks very fake from the outside looking in. And that's not so much a musical thing or a music industry thing as opposed to just in general. And so it took me a while to sort of figure out how I could operate in that world and see the good, because there is so much good in what's happening and you've spoken about it and you're absolutely right. See the good in the social media and not be sort of put off by what I think is or what I feel like is not very genuine, because it's nothing that ever sort of hurt me, or it's just I think a big part of it was my parents always told me, don't go on social media, you don't need it. It's silly, you know. It's where people go to post silly photos of themselves and that's trouble. You know, you just talk to your friends, you know, be social in the real world. And so I really took that to heart. And so it took me a while to sort of get over myself a bit, I think. Get over myself, understand, you know, there are some really great people on social media. You know, it'd be great for you to meet them, hopefully be great for them to meet you, and start engaging this sort of machine or ecosystem that is the music industry on social media. And once I did that, I think I've been really rewarded. I think it's great.
Two weeks ago you said that I was the love of your life, but now we're growing distant. I could swear we're having a fight. I don't pretend to understand what's going on in your mind. Oh my, that'd be nice. ways. And I know that we're fighting, but I don't know why. Sometimes these things just come alive. And I know that we're fighting, but I don't care why. 'Cause fighting gives me new eyes. I see clearly now, when we fight, everything fades to the background. All the things that I thought I cared about, no, they all just disappear. Why do we have to fight to get here?
What advice would you give to someone who was maybe a bit younger and just starting out?
I don't know, is the answer. And I'd like you to keep that in there, because I you were very kind and said if I said something stupid, we can always cut it out. And I may still need to. I may have said something stupid already. So if I sound really good in this interview, it's because there's been some heavy editing done to protect me, and so I appreciate that. There's heaps of advice out there. There's nothing new under the sun, really. Like, I mean, I was listening to some other episodes, and they're great, by the way. Go check out other episodes.
Thank you.
So they're brilliant. I've learned a lot, and so I heard things in terms of advice, like you know, don't force it. If it's not working, come back to it later. Just try to enjoy yourself. And this is all great advice. The reason I'm not giving advice is because, I mean, besides treat others like you'd like to be treated, I haven't lived it. And so, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, and so you can go and hear all these things from other people. But at the very least, with this one piece of advice, it's something that I've lived. And so I can provide testimony that at least in one small lifetime, this has made an impact.
And I'm sure it will continue to do so. And that's very wise of you. Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks. My long form way of saying I don't know.
If you've listened to a few of these podcasts, you're probably going to guess what the next question is. If you could co-write with anyone, dead or alive, yes, who would it be? Why?
Jason Mraz. I'd co-write with him.
Yeah.
Because he's cool.
Why?
One, he's cool. And two, the first performance I ever did was for my school, of about sort of 400 kids, at an assembly, and I sung I'm Yours. Well, you done me and you bet I felt it. I try to be chill, but you so hot that I melted. And that was great. And that sort of, yeah. And I mean, so it took me sort of 2 years after that to start writing my songs. But I still think that was a big step. That was when I knew that I loved performing. And so by the time I had my own songs and I was like, I could perform these. I also knew in the back of my mind, hey, I actually really like performing, as opposed to having to discover that while playing my songs. So I think that was a big thing. And so I feel like I owe him a lot because he gave me a cool song to play.
And then you guys could write like a co-song together and,
yeah.
Next best thing.
He's so cool.
You're actually my third podcast for today, so if I sound like I'm getting...
Wow.
It's because of that.
Hey, shout out to Ray for three podcasts. Have a round of applause wherever you are in the world.
I'm in the Gold Coast.
I know podcasts don't work like that. I know it's not a live audience, but
yeah,
let's pretend there's a live audience just losing their minds.
I'll put in a fake clap there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had two guys from the States this morning, so they were quite early for me but late for them. But just about doing what works. But I love that in this context, I can actually collaborate in a way by doing a podcast with people from completely different genres all over the world. And even if we're not creating music together, although a lot of them I do want to create music with, we're still connecting over that love of music and sound and where it comes from and what it is. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. But the other thing I was going to say about what I really like about this podcast is that all the things I'm talking about, I don't normally talk about these things, not because they're difficult to talk about, but because I never really have to. So it's really, and so I'm not very good at, I made some notes before I came on here because I had no idea what to talk about we've been going for 61 minutes. This is the first time I've spoken about, and I'm having a blast, by the way, this is the first time I've spoken about my music and my stuff for, you know, more than 5 minutes. Like normally I just, I write songs. It's cool. You know, they're about stuff.
I hope it's lit the flame inside of you.
Yeah, no, but the thing that I find really inspiring and so I'd really recommend to other musicians. And so maybe this is the second piece of advice, is get on a podcast or put yourself in a position where you have to talk about your music, because I'm learning stuff. I'm learning stuff about you and I'm learning stuff about myself, or I'm forcing myself to think about sort of the method behind, I suppose, the madness or the stuff I don't have to rationalize, because there's no one, you know, sitting there challenging me to think about, well, why do you write songs? What do you write about? You know, all these great questions you're asking. And so this is, I think it's really helpful. I really hope it's interesting for others, but even if it's not, even if I've been the worst interview, which I apologize for, at the very least, I'm learning heaps because I've been put in a position where I have to, you know, I have to think about things that normally I don't have to think about. And so I really appreciate that.
Is there, I'm going to get someone to follow you, because I think everyone should follow Ishan Merchant because he has an amazing voice and
everyone should get down to the Songwriting Trists podcast because it's amazing. You're already listening to it right now, but you should click the follow. If this is on YouTube, click the bell. If it's on Spotify, click the follow. Just straight away play the next episode. Just what are you doing? There's nothing better to do. Seriously, you're going to watch some TV. None of that. We know where you live. We're going to make sure you watch every single episode, listen to every single episode. What would I tell people? I did. Did you know that Songwriting Trists, they're releasing new episodes every, I don't know, it's great release schedule. Thanks, Mum. Thanks, Dad. Well, Papa, Mama. I wouldn't get away with calling them anything else. They're Spanish names. Talk to people is what I'll leave it on. That's where I'm at right now. That's what's exciting me.
Talk to people.
People are cool. People on social media are cool. People in real life are cool. Talk to people.
Thanks for joining our Songwriters Trist today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, follow us on Facebook or Instagram and subscribe. To contact me or learn more, visit my website, www.ray-lee.com.